Joining me earlier, before the news, in fact, was Andrew Dougal of Chest, Heart and Stroke, and John McCune, who's a spokesman for the Tobacco Retailers Alliance and also has a shop in Ballymena. I'll come back to John and Andrew in a minute. But Patricia Nurse is also on the line, and you're a smoker. I think I can say that quite safely. How long have you smoked, Patricia?
I mean, you could call me a smoker. I would say that I'm a tobacco consumer, you know. I've only been sort of tagged as a smoker in the last few years, you know, since the smoking bans. It's almost as if I've been pushed into a corner with a label round my neck, actually.
So you don't like that word?
Well, you know, I just find it's branded, isn't it? You know, you're branded as something. It's not, you know, I'm a consumer. I'm a consumer of a legal product. You know, other people are consumers of other legal products. So I don't see that there's anything special about being a sort of a tobacco consumer.
And how long have you smoked?
44 years.
I beg your pardon, how long have you consumed tobacco?
I mean, I used to be somebody who smoked. This is the point. You know, I used to be somebody who smoked and I was many other things. But now it's almost as if I'm defined by the fact that, you know, I buy tobacco. So I've smoked for 44 years, as I say.
44 years. All through your pregnancies?
Well, you know, I've discussed this on this programme many times before, you know, and I don't actually take kindly to the sort of emotional blackmail there that you're trying to sort of put on me.
I was just asking a question.
Well, I answered it.
But rather defensively.
Sorry?
Well, I mean, I'm just asking, you did smoke throughout your pregnancy, so...
Well, you know, as I said, I've talked to you on this programme before many times about that particular issue, yes? So I think, you know, if people listen to your programmes regularly, then they will know that, yes, I did smoke throughout my pregnancies. You know, and we're talking about the 1980s, when things were very different and the tobacco control industry was not quite as powerful as it is now.
Well, let's move on then to the tax side.
As I said at the time, you know, when I smoked, I had my babies, you know, after I'd given birth to the first, the curtain was pulled round me, an ashtray was brought to me and a cup of tea. So things were a lot different then.
I agree, yeah. they were a lot different and we have moved on. But from the tax side of things and the amount of tax that's put on cigarettes, and as a smoker, as someone who consumes tobacco products, you will know how much they cost you now. Do you have any sympathy with the tobacconists who feel that it's the smuggling that's putting them out of business?
Well, I agree with the tobacconists, actually. It is the smuggling that's doing it. And actually, the smuggling has only been made that way by the tobacco control industry, which is completely hypocritical. It turns on retailers by saying, oh, you know, they're funded by the tobacco industry. What it doesn't tell you is that it's largely funded either directly or indirectly by the big pharmaceutical industry, which is actually in direct competition with the tobacco industry to supply tobacco consumers with nicotine.
So what about children nowadays, then, compared to children?
Children nowadays, sadly, are much less protected than they were, really, than my children. I mean, we've gone full circle.
Oh, come on, Patricia. When I was that age, you could buy cigarettes singly.
A child who was able to go into a shop and buy, you know, tobacco when I was a child in the 60s, you know, at least that was regulated to some extent. Sadly, you know, I fear for my grandkids because I've seen man with a bag with contaminated tobacco and he doesn't care who he approaches or who he sells to. You know, he's selling cheap stuff. And, I mean, I stopped him, you know, to ask him. And as soon as I started questioning him, he disappeared into the ether, you know. It's very dangerous. You know, I think there needs to be some perception in this debate. You know, there needs to be some perspective. There needs to be something, you know, balanced here because it's gone crazily out of control. And actually, the ones who are going to suffer are today's children.
Today, children of the 60s were able to buy cigarettes and tobacconists singly and in fives and tens.
Well, exactly, yes. But, you know, what I'm saying to you is that there has been
regulations
to prevent that since then. You're never going to get a situation now where children can go into a shop and buy any tobacco, let alone single tobacco, because, you know, we've got enforcement, we've got trading standards, we've got all sorts of things that can protect children from buying in shops now. But what we haven't got is anything to protect them from the black market that the tobacco control industry has created.
Andrew Dougal, Chest, Heart and Stroke.
Could I just say that Patricia rehearses well the rhetoric of the tobacco industry. She's been well schooled in this, and I don't know where she's had her training, but certainly she is a very effective apologist for the tobacco industry. And you know, the tobacco industry is manipulating people. They manipulate the Tobacco Retailers Alliance. They fund them, and they don't come out themselves and talk anymore directly to the public, but they get others to do it. They're the ventriloquist, really.
Well, John McCone is a spokesman.
Sorry, I just feel that I've been slandered there. You know, is he really saying that I'm not capable of thinking for myself? You know, I don't know anybody in the tobacco industry. I'm not paid by the tobacco industry. I'm certainly not trained by anybody. You know, I mean, really.
Well, you know, you rehearse their argument very well. 50 years ago, Sir Richard Dawl, the scientist, found out that tobacco kills one in two of its users. Now, you know, some people will survive, but they kill 2,300 people every year, and you must remember that.
You
should not be an apologist for
that for about the last couple of years, actually.
One at a time, please. Andrew?
I said that, you know, the one in two smokers will die is not something they've been saying for 50 years. It's something new that they've just sort of pulled from the air in the last few years. Since
well, you know, Sir Richard Peto and others have produced the data, and the data, hard data there, one in two people who use tobacco will die prematurely as a result of their tobacco habit.
Well, as I said, if I knew one in two people who smoked around me who did die, I might believe you.
Well, you don't believe the findings?
I've got to the point. I've really got to the point where it's gone to saturation point. And whereas I used to believe the things that was coming from the anti-smoker industry, you know, of course I believe things. And you know, I'm very much into harm reduction. But what I'm again is this political, almost political push to eradicate tobacco and its consumers by any means, even if that means criminalising them. You know, and I honestly think, this is myself speaking, you know, my own opinion, but I actually think, you know, that if we did have this black market that did take, it has closed tobacconists, you know, specialist tobacconist shops, if it closed retailer shops, I think the tobacco control industry would be very happy, because then it would push tobacco consumers into that criminal class, and ultimately that's what it wants. This is part of the whole denormalisation programme. You know, if people look at people who buy tobacco as criminals, then you know what greater thing to stop, you know, anyone smoking in future.